Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
All right, guys. Welcome back, EYL. This is going to be a very, very exciting, special episode.
It's got all the makings.
For sure. But before we start, I want to let you guys know last minute run, but we are headed to Atlanta. You got probably by the time this comes out a few days to get tickets. It's gonna be crazy. ATL. Can't wait to touch the town. January 25th, January 26th.
It's gonna be crazy.
It's a 2-day event. We're doing a live podcast on January 25th with the PTG boys. I got Brandon and the whole crew. They're running the car game right now. They're going to be guests. Yeah. We're also going to have celebrity realtor Kiana Watson from Atlanta. She's doing her thing.
First Family of Fitness going to be there.
First Family of Fitness, Mr. and Mrs. 2 weeks out. They doing their thing in Atlanta for sure. And our brother Kenny Burns.
Ooh, the legend.
Yeah, we'll be in the building. Legend. For sure, for sure.
Curator of culture himself.
That's a fact. And then after that, it's open bar and it's catered. And it's a private networking event.
Everybody act accordingly.
It's a whole vibe. Yeah, that's a fact. Stay off the Henny. And Sunday, the day after, we have a workshop with our guy, Alex Good Energy, talking about trucking. Andy from Y2K Credit Solutions, going to talk about credit. MG the Mortgage Guy is going to go over mortgages and everything you need to know about real estate. And the king of wholesaling, Max Maxwell, is going to talk about wholesaling. So
that alumni list is strong.
Nah, it's crazy.
It's a strong list.
Everybody else is coming. Wall Street Trapper will be in the building. Mobile Homes Elite will be in the building.
Miss Business will be there.
Our guest today will be in the building.
Atlanta is going
to
be special.
Nah, it's going to be crazy, man. Like I said, shout out to Jay Morrison. I spoke to him. He might pop out. So, yeah, all the information is online. There's a couple different varieties as far as if you want to break it up on the earnyourleisure.com events tab. So, Atlanta, looking forward to seeing you guys, man. Can't wait.
It's going
to
be silly.
So, we're gonna jump right into it. This is gonna be a very good episode. So it was crazy because me and Troy was out at dinner about
a few weeks back.
Yeah. And one of our friends, a good friend of ours, told us about a podcast, and the podcast name was Horrible Decisions. She was
spelled
like,
with a W.
Yeah,
spelled with whore.
Spelled with whore. And she was telling us about it, and I'm like, oh, I never heard about it. I'm like, that's interesting. And then she's like, not that big. Like, it's really
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And then like 2 days later,
as fate would have it,
one of the stars DM'd us and told us about their podcast and was like, yo, I'm interested in being on your podcast. I'm like, yeah, funny you say that. We just
I thought it was a setup. I'm like, yo, they said that so they can hit us up. And I'm like, no, none of those things. Just a coincidence.
Yeah. So we got none other than Mandy B, aka Full Court Pumps. Yes, co-host of the Horrible Decisions podcast. So Horrible Decisions is a sex podcast.
Yes.
And it's huge. It's one of the top podcasts. It's in the top 1%.
Yeah, we shouldn't even just say sex, though. We should say women's empowerment.
So it's women empowerment, but we focus on we do anti-slut shaming, anti-kink shaming. so we don't allow the kink shaming to happen, but we focus on just bringing more so the things that are taboo in sex to the forefront and having those conversations with everyday people who are in the kink space and just having those conversations that you probably never had with your mom and dad.
Good chance.
So we literally, we dive into it weekly. So we drop every Monday and we are joined by, again, different people in the kink space, some of our other podcaster friends and some influencers. And we just talk about sex, dating, and relationships.
That's a fact.
Big part of that.
Yes. So the interesting part of the story for us, since we're a business podcast, is that Mandy used to be in corporate America,
yes.
And we're going to talk about her journey. But so the podcast industry is a unique industry. And we've talked about podcasts a little bit from our standpoint, right. But this is the first time we've actually had another podcaster on.
Oh, wow.
I shouldn't say that. But this is the first time that we've had another podcaster going in depth about podcast industry. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be an interesting conversation because we're going to break down the numbers and stuff like that. And It's a really dope business model as far as for podcast, and every podcaster is different as far as like how they want to run their business. But one of the good things I like about, you know, the age that we're in right now is that, especially with podcasts, anybody could be a podcaster. Yeah.
Anybody.
Like, you know,
you can do it out of your home.
You don't say.
Funny you say that. So it's going to be a really dope, exciting conversation. So, all right.
It's 2022. And I just want to make that note. It's like, we want to empower our women. Well, we want to make a conscious effort to make sure we have more women on.
I literally told him on the phone. I said, y'all need more women. So I like hearing from the men.
So
but
2020, yeah. we're making it happen out here too. That happens. Man. Y'all killing it.
That's a fact. So you're a full-time podcast. Is what you do for a living. Full-time.
I just left my corporate job June 26, 2019. Yes.
So can you talk about that? Because you was with Ernst & Young.
Yes.
Ernst & Young, right?
I worked at Ernst & Young for, I left right before my 1 year anniversary. Prior to that, I was at Goldman Sachs for about a year and a half. And then this was all while I was in school obtaining two of my degrees. So I was on path to be a CPA. In New York, you need 150 credits to get your CPA license. So I ended up getting two bachelor's degrees in a four-year time. So that was 151 credits in 4 years. And so I have my BS in accounting and my BA in business administration with a focus on marketing.
Dope. And what did you do at Goldman?
So at Goldman, I did the same. So I did investment tax. Okay. So I was in the investment tax group. And then at Ernst & Young, I did taxes for financial services. So I did taxes for hedge funds and private equity funds, so investment institutions.
Do you come from a family of finance? Or
hell
you're
no.
Just like,
I'm from Florida. So like I actually even wanted to get into opening these conversations to just the younger generations of careers that you could have. I went to a school that focused on putting everyone either in as a nurse or cosmetology. That's it. That's what they pushed people for, just to go to college. Neither of my parents went to college. Neither of my parents have college degrees. They just believed in working. And so initially out of high school, I was a bartender. And my dad thought that that wasn't a real job. He said, you need to get a real job. And it wasn't until I moved up here to New York. I've been up here about 7 years. I didn't know what to do, so I was between bartending and working at temp jobs. Mm-hmm. And within the temp jobs, I could only get like a receptionist role. And I was like, I'm smart. I can do way more than be a receptionist.
Right.
But they all wanted that sheet of paper. So I literally put myself in school and was like, I'm going to get this piece of paper so that I can make some real money.
Got it done.
And then left that. So there's that.
So, all right. So you got one of the top podcasts in the world.
Thank you.
And you do this full time. You quit your job at corporate America, mm-hmm. which... couldn't have been an easy decision to make. How much were you making at Ernst & Young?
So Ernst & Young as a first year
associate.
Yeah. So I was a staff accountant.
That's, okay.
So you go through about 2.5 to 3 years of being a staff before you reach senior. Then you go through 3 levels of being a senior before you reach manager, and then that goes up until you can make partner.
You had like, this mapped out.
Yeah. No. There's literally. But as an accountant, you like every year you get a raise. So every year you're moving up in the ladder until. After 10 to 12 years, you could be a senior manager and then go to being a partner. So that was the path I was ready to take until, you know, I opened up my own firm. I had it all planned out. So coming straight out of college without my master's, with your master's, you make 68. Without your master's, you're at about 60 to 62.
Okay. So you're making 68,000 on a career path to in a couple of years, probably making over $100,000.
Yes.
And you quit to do the podcast full time. So can you walk us through the journey of your podcast journey? We're going to talk about like funding and all of that. Like,
yes.
But when you first started a podcast, because you did the podcast simultaneously while you're working a job, right?
While I was in school and working.
So what was the steps to start the podcast?
So the steps weren't much. It was okay. Me and my co-host sat at our, like we had dinner. I owed her some money because she didn't sleep with someone I thought she was going to sleep with. So I was like, fine, I'll take you out to dinner since you won the bet. And so we sat literally across the table from each other at dinner and planned out what we wanted as a podcast. I'm very organized. I'm the friend that when we go on vacation, I have an Excel spreadsheet on when everyone arrives, the tours we're taking, the hotel we're staying at.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, we're not just going to go in and talk. I said, so let's think of segments we want to have.
Yeah, but
we
you had some on. Experience, though. You had a podcast prior.
Yes. So I had a podcast with Lamar Woodley and Thousand.
Okay.
That was his name. And we did a sports podcast. And even with that, we made sure we touched on certain events that happened in the mm-hmm. week, our thoughts on the business aspect of sports, mm-hmm. gossip. We literally added those into that podcast, which stopped because we were all remote. Thousand was in Pittsburgh. Lamar, at the time we started the podcast, I believe he had just left the Cardinals.
Okay.
Either the Cardinals or the Raiders. I think actually the Raiders was his last team. And so he was, you know, transitioning from becoming an NFL player to now figuring out what he wanted to do after his career. So that fell off with all of our schedules. So anyways, I started. We decided to sit down. She's like, let's name it Horrible. And I'm like, okay, well, horrible what? So we went through, we brainstormed, came up with the name almost immediately. We knew we wanted to talk about sex. And I'm very big on making things educational. As someone who's in school, I just didn't want it to be me talking about my sexual adventures. So we literally said we would, you know, start with catch up on our dating lives, sex lives, what was going on. We introduced the kink of the week. We found there was a list of like 260 something kinks, things we had never heard of. People apparently are aroused by statues, bugs, things that we were just like, oh my God, this is crazy. And so we literally, and then we knew that we would talk about a horrible decision. And then as most podcasts have, listener letters or emails where people can write in. So it was very, we had our 3 to 5 segments.
So people are writing in their own stories and you're reading them?
They want advice from us.
Oh, okay.
So any relationships, sex advice, and now we are flooded with, emails all the time. Expert. Yeah, and she actually had a studio that she recorded out of. And so we went there. It was $35 an hour. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And so we started literally recording out of Brooklyn. So I would leave from having a half a day at school, half a day at work, and go from Jersey City at the time all the way to Brooklyn to record these episodes.
And then when you first recorded it, were you uploading it? Because you were our agency now, but yes. Before that, you was independent.
We still own 100% of our content, all of it. So even though we're signed with an agency, even though we're on a network, we own 100% of our content. So literally, I mean, it's not much to Google. SoundCloud is our host. And then amongst being on SoundCloud, I ended up getting Spreaker so that we can be distributed to iHeartRadio and Spotify. Mm-hmm. And so we pay those two hostings a month. And in the beginning, I was just like, girl, don't say nothing we can't cut out because we had no one really editing.
Yeah.
So everyone got the full episode. We weren't doing much editing. We didn't have a music to start. We didn't have sound bites. We were like, okay, well, we just talked for an hour. Here you go.
Who do you use? Sprinkle, you say?
Spreaker.
Sprinker.
Spreaker. So Speaker with an R.
They're the distribution?
They distributed before you could actually get, before you could just go to Spotify. Spotify was actually hard and so was iHeartRadio. So this was a host that could distribute your content through your RSS feed just through being a member on there and paying, I don't know, we paid $8 a month with them and $15 a month with SoundCloud.
Troy, you want to say what you want to tell the RSS feed?
So the RSS feed is the actual, I guess it would be like the website address for your actual podcast. So when you put that out, and you could distribute on multiple networks. So we can be on Anchor and we can be on Spotify. We can be on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or a multitude of things. At that time, how many were being distributed?
We started, so our host was SoundCloud. And at that time, we also set up our Apple Podcast, which was
separately.
It was linked to, I didn't know none of this when I started, so it's linked to my goddamn email. Sorry. Yeah. So it's linked to that. I was like, well, I have iTunes. Let's just go on Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
So now everything's, through my iCloud account, which I wouldn't suggest for anyone. Just literally made it on iTunes and SoundCloud. And I didn't even know how to check analytics until I would see on our SoundCloud, Google Play is getting us too. And we started popping up on all of these different podcast apps that I wasn't familiar with, but we saw it in our stats.
I told a story about that the other day. I was on the phone with this young man that we met in DC, and he was like, what podcast should I listen to? What did you guys listen to? I'm like, well, we really didn't listen to any. I don't know if that's a good way to go about it, but we kind of just did this thing. Like, let's just do it. And then I think after like 3 months, we didn't know that there was charts for podcasts.
Oh yeah.
We were like, wait, huh? We're on a chart?
We were wondering why we never got into the new and noteworthy. And then there's a whole politics regarding that.
All these things.
On Apple Podcasts. We really didn't know much either. And like I said, she's a huge Bodega Boys fan. So she listened to them. I had only really listened to The Read and gotten into Brilliant Idiots around that time. And now I literally listen to Joe Budden faithfully. But we started the podcast and outside of me having a podcast, I still wasn't familiar with
the space.
I think that's
important for people to understand too, is that we haven't really done an episode about how to start a podcast. People have always asked for that. And it's like, it's really not that difficult.
It's not.
It's like,
and it doesn't take a lot of money.
Yeah, we use Anchor for now. Do the right thing, Spotify. That's a fact. And they distribute our show to like 8 different channels. So iTunes, Spotify, where else are we on?
We're on Podbean.
Podbean, Stitcher, all that stuff. So, yeah, so all you do is you record it, and then you upload it from the computer or whatever device you have. And then, yeah, you put it out, and it shifts it out. So that's the easy part.
MacBook.
It's really easy.
The hard part is to actually grow the audience, right?
That's what most people struggle with.
So how'd you grow your audience?
Honestly, we like to say it was done pretty organically. I did already have, I would say a regular size, not even a regular size following, because I had the blog and I was very active on Twitter since 2009. I was a part of Black Twitter. when we started the podcast, I was maybe sitting on 40,000 followers. So I was like, okay, let me just feel this is something new that I have. Let me shoot this out to them. And then I had a lot of friends also with a lot of followers. So I think by our third episode, I brought on Trey Pizzy, who's a rapper in the Bronx. He has his following. And then by episode 6 or 7, we had B. Simone, who is now, at the time, she only had 300,000 followers. Yeah.
She's big.
She's now on tour with Martin Lawrence.
Is she?
Yes.
Wow. She was on the show with Lil' Kim when they went on the yacht, right?
She is our first episode of 2020. We have grown together in what she's done. And like I said, I knew Maul prior. So Maul was on like episode 30.
From Joe Budden.
From the Joe Budden podcast. And we just literally brought all of our friends who were also already in this space, because we're like, okay, they have podcasts. People maybe want to hear them on another one. So
we cross promotion.
We cross promoted a ton. Yeah. And it wasn't until we landed on loudspeaker and had that Brilliant Idiots feature that literally shot us up 30,000 people. That was our game changer.
That changed everything.
It did. And then what's crazy is I thought that was our biggest jump. And then we had Rory on from the Joe Budden podcast and continued with just really dope content that our numbers kept growing. So it wasn't just the spike from Brilliant Idiots. We were able to keep those listeners, obtain them, and then keep growing.
Being on Brilliant Idiots, that's Charlamagne's podcast. Yes. Anybody doesn't know. That increased your listener base by 30,000 per episode?
Per episode. So we literally went from like 10 to 12,000 a week. And after that, we were seeing between 30 and 40,000.
How many listeners do they have?
Oh, God, they probably get a quarter million.
Quarter million per episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how'd you get connected with them?
A King, who was a part of Loudspeaker. I remember he got brought into like our third episode of recording, and the studio at the time, the guy who's the owner of that was just like, yo, these girls are dope. So he came in and listened to us, and he was like, yo, y'all got something here. Keep working on it. We were three episodes in. He didn't know we were going to last a month later, because podcasts start and don't finish. They're not consistent. So he's like, y'all keep going. Y'all got something good. And me and him maintained a friendship until it was just like, listen, we just sold out a show. Our numbers are going up. We're now almost at 10K a week. Like, bring us on the goddamn network. we're doing this. So, and then we decided, it with Charlamagne also, because he's on the network. They were like, okay, we'll bring y'all on to Brilliant is the first.
I'm glad we're having this conversation for a lot, especially for people that are starting podcasts, because this is all stuff that we're learning. Like, we didn't know, because me and Troy never listened to podcasts before we started a podcast. We still only listen to podcasts, to be honest.
Nah, with you. Horrible Decisions is now on the, we subscribe to it. So
you already said you couldn't make it. Hey, it gets a little raunchy, okay?
I got to make sure my son's not in the car.
But, headphones needed.
That's a fact.
Yes.
But it's important for people to notice, because nobody really knows this stuff. So the podcast world is kind of similar to the music industry, I'm finding
out.
Very
much.
Where it's like the music industry, you have labels, right? So you have like a Def Jam, you have Universal, you have labels, right? Mm-hmm. So you have networks in the podcast game. So you're on Loudspeaker.
Yes,
that's a network.
So, and we're on a network with probably, as we mentioned, the top 1% of podcasts, specifically in the Black space of podcasting. I'm amongst the top. So there's the Reed. Friend Zone, who also does touring. They just went on tour with McDonald's at HBCUs. Of course, you have Angela Yee's Lip Service, which I love, and I love her. And also Brilliant Idiots with Charlamagne and Andrew Schultz. Yeah. And Flagrant 2, which Andrew is now selling out everything. He's doing everything.
So that's a network. Mm-hmm. Then you have, shout out to our brother Wallow 267 and Gilly. Congratulations. They just signed with Barstool.
Yeah, Barstool's
time.
Huge.
Big time. Yeah, big time.
Barstool is huge.
That's a network. So there's a few other networks. So and similar to a record label. So like if you're a Def Jam artist, right? Mm-hmm. it's easy. They're gonna collab with other Def Jam artists, right? Yes. So if Jeezy's on Def Jam and they just got a new artist on Def Jam, the best way to give him that look is to put him on a record.
Yeah, it helps
right?
everybody.
Oh, it's like Quality Control, right? Like Quality Control, like they got Lil Baby. The best way to give him a look is to put Quavo on the hook.
Quavo. Mm-hmm.
So now you come on to the label for pretty much for the people to understand it. And
who's featuring on your first single?
So the, and they put you on Brilliant Idiots. So how did that work? Like, did they have to?
And I knew they were scared of us. We literally were also on only for the last 20-25 minutes of the episode. So Andrew and Charlamagne did a whole episode. We come in the last 20-25 minutes. So to have been able to reach 30,000 new listeners in a 20-25 minute, here you go. Like, they put us on the hook. We didn't even get a verse.
did they have to get the okay from Charlamagne?
Chris Morrow, who is head of Loudspeaker, I'm sure they spoke, and
he's like,
"All right,
it's cool, whatever."
And they were like, "These girls are ready."
Nah, because it's interesting. Because like I said, so in this equation, if you're a loyal listener to Earn Your Leisure, we're like Koch Records, like. we're completely independent, and we're just flying by the bootstraps.
Yeah,
we don't know anything. We're just figuring it out as we go. So it's good to know this stuff because it's like, oh, this is how these things actually work on the other side of the table.
Right,
we're like the underdogs in this whole scenario.
Well, no, even talking to you guys, a lot of people look at podcasting as it's a hobby. It's something to do with your friends. And I remember even the conversation Weezy and I had before starting the show. I was just like, listen, if we're going to follow the model to try to make money on this thing, we got to look at this as a business. We have to operate as a business. And if I don't see no money, girl, I got a career I'm going to.
I got a plan.
And, you know, never in my wildest dreams. Again, we started this podcast less than 3 years ago, April of 2017. It's now 2020. And we're now on our second, technically, tour. And like I said, we made $250,000 last year on what a lot of people see as a hobby. And I was able to leave what I thought would be my career for the next 20, 30 years.
And it's only going to get bigger from here.
Yeah, that's the plan.
God willing.
That's the plan.
For sure. So, all right. So we're going to go in the next segment. We're going to talk about the business breakdown, how you're actually making money. But before that, you said like in the podcast world, there's like politics, like stuff like that, right?
Yes.
So can you talk about that briefly? Because it's like, so if you're on one network, you might not be able to collab with someone on another network.
No, I haven't seen that really happen. But we're all humans. So you have, I don't want to say human error, but human relationships. And so you do have people who aren't friends or have a history for some personal reasons. And now you'll probably never see them collab. And that's just more so, that. And then you also have to look at it as a business. Like, does it make sense for me to go on a podcast that talks about cooking? Probably not. Yeah.
Somebody might have a food fetish.
Aphrodisiac. See, okay, you're right. We can maybe make it happen.
There we go.
But you also have to look at it like, okay, does this make sense for me to collab with this person? Does it benefit my brand? Does it benefit their brand? And again, also, like I said, there is the human aspect of things. So even though we're all podcasters, that just like all rappers aren't friends, all podcasters aren't friends.
That's a fact. And it's like I said, it's a whole underworld of podcasts. So I definitely thank you for giving us information. Thank our brother Wallow. He gave us a lot of gems.
Big time.
Chad from 85 South Show. Because it's little like.
Oh, I love all of them.
Yeah.
Carlos in DC. Yeah. I'm still waiting for them to come on. But no, supporting everything they're doing.
Yeah,
because
they just give us game. And it's like, you know, those guys are established in the podcast world. So like, this podcast award shows.
Right.
And it's like iHeart, and it's like different things, and it's like exclusive deals now that podcasters are signing, or like exclusively with Apple, exclusively with Spotify, right? And it's so much different stuff.
What we're
going
to see in the space of podcasting, even over the
next
year,
started.
Like it's just getting started, specifically in our space where talk radio's been out. Howard Stern, what I'm doing now isn't new. We're talking about sex in the same way that Howard Stern did. He brought on porn stars and had them do wild things, but it was just talk radio. Talk radio is essentially what podcasting is. But in our, I guess, communities, we didn't listen to talk radio. Nah. No one wanted to turn on and hear people talk. Nah. But now we're getting in a space where it's very open. And again, the everyday person is finding themselves with a podcast with a lot of listens. Yeah.
They find because they find a lot of value in it, right? So like, this is the way we educate now. Like we used to get educated through the music so much that we listen to now, or the kids listen to now. not the same message, right?
Yeah, so now, no one wants to pick up many books, really. They want to get it in, ahead, in a 140-character right. tweet. This exactly. is what's going on, and that's the limit to what they're reading. So
we're putting it we through can their digest ears. This. We're putting it through their ears. The same way we learn from music, now we're putting this education through their ears because right. that's what people have. They have their phones. They could just hit the podcast joint, and they go away with the education.
Right, that's a right. fact. So, all right. So, in the next segment, we're gonna get to what everybody wants to know is how do you make money on a podcast?
Oh, and yes.
We're going to blow it out the water for okay. sure. Yeah. All right. So, in this segment, we're going to go into the deep dive of the numbers. Because yeah. As you said, you're not doing a podcast just for fun. You're doing
no.
it for
yeah.
business. And it's your full-time career.
It's my living.
Yeah, you walked away from a full-fledged career.
From being a public accountant. I walked away. And again, I spent four long, stressful years of my life getting the degree.
To get to that point.
Just to get to that point, yeah. And I left it within the first year.
Can you just talk about that for just like a second? Like the feeling or the build-up to knowing that, you know what, I have to leave or I can't do both at the same time anymore?
I mean, it came from not only just juggling time. I mean, when I first started my job, and I started in July, so it was right before we got into busy season, and me and her were recording still. Like, yeah. I have to go. So I was like, they wanted me to stay, and I'm like, I got this. We scheduled studio at 7:00. Mm-hmm. I got to be up out of here. Like, I can't stay. So, I mean, when I first started my job, they thought I was sick because I had all these doctor's appointments every week, and they're like, you need to schedule these on another time because we need you to stay these days. And I literally was telling them I couldn't stay at work. Yeah. And it wasn't until we planned our tour and I went into the office to my senior manager and finally had to open up like, hey guys, Fridays I may have to leave early sometimes because I am going on a tour. And they're like, what? And they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, it's like a radio show because no one really knows what a podcast is all the way. So I'm like, it's like a radio show. They're like, really? What do you talk about? And I was like, women empowerment. You know, women. That was my corporate thing,
oh my
women
gosh.
Empowerment. I didn't want to, you know, and, you know,
go
dating
you.
And relationships. Didn't add in the sex in there. And then it wasn't until like I'm being noticed at my D&I event from partners at my firm, like, oh my God, I knew you worked at one of the big fours, but I didn't know which one. And then I'm being spotted in the cafeteria during the week. And I'm just like, this isn't going to hold up much longer. In the beginning, it was hard to balance it. The anxiety of leaving, I literally was like, okay, I made my salary in the first 5 months of 2019. Mm-hmm. I matched it with what I was doing with the podcast. Mm-hmm. So before I left, I kind of set a date to myself. I was like, I don't want to do another busy season. Busy seasons in public accounting, I was crying weekly. Mm. I was getting into work at 9:00, wasn't leaving the office until 1, 2 in the morning. Mm. And then they said I wasn't staying late enough because there was people staying till 5. I said, not me. I'm getting my sleep. And so, you know, just them even feeling like I wasn't giving them enough time. And I'm like, I'm working 9 to 2 a.m.
That's crazy.
So I'm busting 70, 80 hour weeks. And I'm like, I'm giving someone else 70, 80 hour weeks of me at a salary. I said, those additional hours and even the hours I'm giving them, if I put that into myself,
right.
What could I really make? And so I paid off some of my credit cards. I started a savings and I was raised in a single parent household. My mom was a tech, a nurse. We grew up Section 8, food stamps. That's my life. So the idea of a savings, I had never had. My mom has never had. My dad has never had. Mm-hmm. A savings account was not something I grew up knowing about. So I wanted to make sure I had a safety net just in case. Mm-hmm. So got my savings, paid off my debt, raised my credit score to where I was like, okay, maybe I can get a couple things now, and left my job.
Gotta do it.
Congrats.
Gotta do it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the podcast made $250,000 in the first 6 months of 2019, right?
So $250,000 in 2019.
In 2019.
In 2019, we made $250,000 through all of our avenues. But by May, which is when we finished our first tour, with ads, with Patreon, with that, I had matched my accounting salary. So I had made $60,000. So I'm looking, I'm like, okay. So I made about $60,000 in 5 months with the podcast. I just worked half a year. So I saw $100,000 in like first half of 2019, most I've ever seen in my life. And so I was like, okay. And again, I gave all of these hours to a corporation. I was like, what can I do the next 6 months? So yeah, I left in June.
All right.
But yeah.
So, all right. So how did you make the money? So there's a couple of different ways how you make money on a podcast and your guys specifically. So first I want to talk about Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon is something that once again,
shout out to them.
We didn't know anything about Patreon until we started a podcast and somebody actually put in a comment on Instagram, like, you guys have a Patreon. And I'm like, what's Patreon?
I'm like, yo, you know what Patreon is? And we like, no. I'm like, all right, let me just type it in. Let's see what this is.
And there's actually, that's the one site that there's a ton to Google about. Like when you start podcasting, there is no blueprint to what we're doing.
No, there's nothing.
There's not. So I can give you all of the steps that I did exactly. That doesn't mean you're going to see the successful money I made. There's just really no blueprint to this. But Patreon, there is. And again, at this point, when we first started the podcast, we were paying for studio. We were paying for edits. We needed flyers. There was expenses coming out. And we were like, okay, let's find a way to bring money in. And so we started our Patreon account.
So, all right. So you guys are really doing really well with Patreon. So yes. Can you talk about that? Like, what's your model for Patreon?
So for Patreon, we wanted to, you have to give them more than what they're getting. So as podcasting, I don't think people realize like the amount of information we give out, that's for free to a lot of people. And we started growing. We really have supporters. I like to think of our audience as, they're our sisters, they're our best friends, we're in their head as those things. And so being as vulnerable as we have and transparent with our lives, people wanted to support us, but we were just giving them content for free. So we were like, okay, what can we give them for a subscription? That's what Patreon is. It's a subscription platform that you could add to your already present platform.
For creatives.
And
it doesn't have to be podcasts.
It doesn't. It could be videos. Anybody
can have a Patreon account. And how much you make on Patreon?
So currently we're seeing close to $9,000 a month.
So what do you have?
Like, so right now we offer a $2 tier, a $5 tier, and a $15 tier. And for our $15 patrons and $5 patrons, they get 3 bonus episodes a month. So as a creator, we are, you know, creating now 7 to 8 episodes a month. And then for our $15 tier patrons, we send them out merch. So every 4 months, they are able to receive merch from us. And it can be anything from a crew neck, a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, socks, a mug. And so every 4 months, they're now getting merch that you can only get as being a top tier patron, which is dope because now that we do live shows and they come in with the merch, we know that they're supporters and it's just a different connection that we have with them. But also it allows them to have their own community boards. Mm-hmm. They talk with each other. We give information that we only give to our patrons that we don't put on our public platforms. And then now that we are also on tour, it's the only place that you can be to get access to pre-sale tickets, which was a big thing because our Patreon community sold out our VIP tickets for our New York show before it was even open to the public. Mm. So people feel like, you know, they're still getting value in being a part of that community.
Dope. And how long did it take to grow? How many patrons do you have?
We have about 1,400.
How long did it take to grow that?
We started our Patreon account December of 2017. Hey. And I can remember, I think we started with maybe getting $80 a month. And then that grew to 200 and 300. And it's a slow climb. But then that's when we went from giving them 1 episode to 2 episodes to now 3 episodes. So we've grown to let them know that they're getting, you know, their money's worth.
No, it was crazy. The first month we started Patreon, like I said, we had no idea. Like, even creating the tiers, it was like, how do we even price it? We tried to figure out what would make sense. And then, like, the first month we had, like, 2 people.
Oh, we were happy because we were like, $80, it covers our studio. Like, now we weren't having to pay for the studio because these 5 people who, you know, wanted to support us was now, it was covering our costs.
No, Patreon is a great idea. And like I said, not just for podcasters, any creative that's looking to grow organically, because what it allows is for your natural supporters, people that really, really support you.
Mm-hmm.
To support you financially. And it's not just charity, they're getting something for it as well. So like what we've done with our Patreon is that we've given like the top two tiers access to our online university.
Okay.
Which is called EYL University. They also get access to live stream events, all of our events. They get discounts to our events, I think like 20% discount.
Yeah, 20% to the events and to our merch.
Nice.
So when they go to earnleisure.com, they can buy the merch.
And they get FaceTime calls at the highest level, right?
Yeah, we're gonna, so like now.
Oh yeah, we started the calls. I was like, girl.
We're in the process of revamping it because it's like, yeah, we've added so much content now that we can maybe offer like another episode. So we're going to start doing things like that too.
Right.
Maybe even transcripts.
Yeah, transcripts.
Of the episode. A lot of times people want to like.
They take notes.
They want over and above. So I really like when you told me that you was making $9,000 a month off of Patreon. I really like that because it's a way to, because like you said, the podcasts are free.
Right.
So it's like, it's hard for podcasters to provide, so and people don't understand how much work it takes to take to do a podcast.
Yeah. It's a full time job. It is a full time job,
and the time too. The time too. It's like it's crazy.
Yeah, man. But even so, and
then travel.
Oh, and that's what I was gonna say. So with those funds, we were able to, like I told you, our merch for our tour this go around cost us damn near $8,000. Like, it's expensive to buy merch, to sell merch, to go on the road, and so our very first tour that we did, mind you, again, just being on a network, we still own a lot of our content. And so our first tour, we had no agent. So Patreon funded our first tour. Mm. We spent about $20,000 getting the venues. And this was throughout 8 cities. We did 13 shows. And we literally were like, okay, let's look at our analytics. What cities are we going to? We looked at our SoundCloud analytics and was like, okay, we have audiences here. We picked what we would feel comfortable as far as venue size. And literally when people ask, we were like, okay, we're going to Atlanta. Google Atlanta Theater. That's what we did.
Yeah.
We Googled the city, followed by the word theater. A list came up and we started emailing and calling those places, asking for availability and rental cost. And so we went through all of these cities. We picked the venues. We got the rental costs. We knew what we wanted to stay between as far as money. So I think our most expensive venue, of course, was Caroline's.
New York City.
How much was that?
New York City. That one was about five.
5,000.
Yeah. And for a matinee show. The comedy clubs weren't dealing with us at all. They didn't know who we were. They didn't really know our podcast.
So you got a performance.
We had a 4 p.m.
All those, yeah.
on a Sunday. So For the comedy clubs, they were a little bit more pricey, but our venues ranged anywhere from, our venue in Chicago was our least expensive. That one was, I don't know, I think we got for like $150 an hour. And it sat 130 people. We did the numbers. We priced our tickets. We had our friends check people in. We said, here's an extra phone, scan them on Eventbrite. We put all of our tickets on Eventbrite, had our friends at the door. We were like, we not popular. We don't need security. Had no security for the first tour. And we knew we had to be out at a certain time because we weren't paying no over fees. So we rented the venues, kept 100% of the door, and we covered our own hotel and transportation expenses. So for some of the cities, I was like, girl, I'm staying with you. Even though I'm on tour, I'm staying with my homegirls.
How many cities did you do your first tour?
Our first tour, we did 8 cities, and in about 3 or 4 of the cities, we had to add an extra show because we sold out the first show.
How much money did you make on your first tour?
Our first tour, we made about $110,000 profit. If you take out the venue cost, we saw almost $100,000.
But now you got an agent.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's different.
That's
now,
changed
right?
some things.
It's changed the game for you.
Yes. We are now signed to WME. And they are now doing our second tour. And we went from doing 8 cities to 17 cities.
And how has that helped you as far as like boost up the amount of cities?
It's been amazing because we don't have to call the venues and be like, hey, so we want to do a show. Like, that was the thing. We're walking into these venues. We're doing tech. We're doing sound. We're making sure the green room is cool. We're handling the guest list. They're like, y'all don't have anyone. And it was literally me and my co-host with our friends that wanted to help. And so we're going into these venues as the booker, the talent, the management, the producers of everything.
Like, so now the agent takes all those roles?
No, the agent takes care of booking the venues. Okay. And we now have a tour manager and a tour assistant that deal with the writers, production, to where we can now show up and put on a show.
And they get paid?
Yes, they get paid.
Percentage off of that?
Our assistant, we pay salary. Our tour manager, we pay salary. And the agent takes a percentage.
You said writers or writers?
Writers. So like
the list of things you need?
The things, the hospitality writer is what we ask for in our green room. So I wanted to be like, I want Skittles
on that writer?
With the purple ones taken out. But I was like, no, let me stop. But I was like, ooh, we talent now. Like, we went to Howard Theater, which was one of our biggest venues, and my name was on the room. I was like, I need all them pictures. But no, I'm my rider. It's Tito's, which I might have to up that because it'd be gone before the show starts. So I got Tito's. My co-host has like Red Bull, like it's simple. That's our hospitality rider, and then we have our production rider. Mm-hmm. So what we need on stage, the music that we're gonna play, the host, what time we want them and come out. So we still are very much in charge with the production of our show.
Okay,
and that's dope because
that's important to us.
It's so the podcast game is becoming like a real crazy thing where it's like as a podcast you can go on tour, just like a musician can go on tour, yeah. Right? And you get the same benefits, and it's like. What you described for your first year, that's like where we're at right now. Because mm-hmm. we're on our tour right now, but we do everything ourselves.
So that's the thing that I will say. A lot of people see a lot of podcasts going on tours or doing live shows, and they automatically think they have to do it. I would go against that. I think a lot of people think that, you know, if they're not doing live shows, then they're not successful. And I think they need to focus on maybe reaching their audience more before... just, okay, we're going to do a live show. Because I do know a lot of podcasters that are like, okay, it's time for me to do a live show. And then they get the venue, they start selling tickets, and no tickets.
But what we did, and this is a tip for people, well, our blueprint was we did networking events. We did free networking events in 6 cities in America. We did LA, Chicago, Houston, New York, Atlanta. Anywhere else?
No, you got them all.
5. We did 5 free.
In DC.
No, we're not a networking event.
Oh, right.
We did 5 free networking events last year. Free, completely free. Come. And we just made money off of merch and the bar. We split percentage on the bar, right? We did that for a few different reasons. A, we wanted to just get out and touch the cities
and
interact with the people. And we used it as a real time gauge to see how hot we was in those areas.
I really like that.
It's like the pop up shop.
For our first live show, again, like I was telling you guys before. As an accountant, I'm looking at margins and break even and all of the things necessary and looking at what we had to put out. And so what we needed to sell tickets at, we did have our studio that we recorded at the time. He put up the money and then we paid him back with the ticket sales. But we literally, our first show, we saw no money at all. And we weren't doing it for money, but we were doing it to reach our audience. Mm-hmm. So I would say that would maybe be another tip. Is to make sure you price the tickets at something where you could at least break even and not to look at your first live show as something to make a ton of money off of. So maybe sizing your venue down with something that's not going to cost a lot.
Yeah. And so it's dope because it's all a learning experience.
It is.
So for us now, like I said, we're in a stage where we're not signed to anybody and we don't have any booking agents or anything. So we're doing all this stuff. It's a lot of work. That's why we kind of like spread it out like 6 weeks in between shows. And we do two. So we do like a live podcast and we do a workshop too. So it's like a 2-day event. But when we got invited, like I said, shout out to 85 South. And we got invited to, they were guests on Lip Service.
Yes. Yeah.
On the Lip Service, Angela Yee's podcast. So we went to the show that they had in New York City.
Oh, at the Apollo?
No, at, where was it at, Troy?
Lincoln Hall was?
What? Lincoln Hall, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was, so they were guests on Lip Service.
Yes.
So we got there before 85 South got there. So they brought us to their, like, room, their green room. And, like, they had the liquor bottles. And it was, like, a real, like, backstage for a performer.
No,
like,
you know what I'm saying? But as a podcaster, especially if you're doing the lot, like, you're an artist.
Yeah.
Like, and so, yeah, it's crazy.
These
now,
are the entertainers
like,
of the generation.
Like, me being on tour, like, we're going through riders. We have day calls. We have sound checks. We have, it's really crazy. Like, and when I'm talking to my friends who are in the music industry, they're like, you know, dang, you have, like, a real tour, like, a real schedule. Like, and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like, I'm a music artist. It's kind of
weird. But I say that to say, it's like, it's always a progression in the business. So it's like, now you have staff that handles your touring for you, that helps it out. Now you can add more shows and it makes it, you know, an easier transition. And that's something that a lot of time people don't really think about as far as like, especially like with a podcast or any type of creative, it's like there's more to it than just the content.
But I think, and it's one of the things that we're trying to get now, I don't think people realize the importance of a team. And so for a lot of the beginning of us, it was just me and her. And we did. We thought we could do it all. Like I said, we were every position imaginable. And it's there's only so far that you could take yourself before you create a team. So you guys having someone behind the camera, that's dope. You guys now don't have to deal with the video element of something, and you have him doing that. Us now having an engineer helps without me having to do the editing when we're dealing with a tour. We're looking for an assistant, social media person. Like, you, it takes a team, which I think is why you have these people like Angela Yee and Brilliant Idiots and Joe Budden, who has been able to go so far because they have people that have the roles.
Nah, yeah. That's a fact. 85 South Show, so they had 19 people
on their show.
And they said they started with, they was doing, I think, like 100 to 200 people. Now they do like 3,000. 3,000 people.
They started out with a wood table and three microphones.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, I mean, that was dope. Again, anyone looking to get into the space, if they're looking for it to be a business, this definitely is something that you can grow to be, like, very, you know, profitable.
So hosting. You get paid on hosting too, right?
Yes. How's so that I work do out? Panels, hostings. That just goes with bookings. And I love it because it's literally like, bro, I'm getting paid to talk. It's like, like, this is still, it's a nuance that I can't even explain. Like, I'm the one that had to be told to shut up in the classroom. Like, you're talking too much.
Speaking engagements.
You know, so there's speaking engagements. Right now we're trying to do after parties, just again, just to be more
after your events,
after our live shows.
Okay.
Again, you have to realize that the booking of hostings and clubs, that whole scene has changed. They realize that certain people aren't bringing it out. Just because you have a million followers doesn't mean you're even going to bring a crowd. So right now, because promoters don't do that as much anymore, it's us trying to, y'all don't understand though, our reach is here. So as far as club hostings, that's not really a thing. But it's more so, yeah, speaking engagements. And we're doing Mocha Fest in Jamaica. So that's a booking where it's not really talking, but we're going to be doing a live show in Jamaica.
Your agent handles that stuff for you as well?
No, we got booked on that by ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you another major portion of your money comes from ads, right?
Yes.
Good old ad space.
Good old ads. And that's probably one of the hardest things for podcasters. And it's probably the one thing that they look to start to get is ads. And that's the toughest thing, I think, to get. As a podcaster, you don't know who to reach out to. You know, okay, we talk about sex. Okay, Blue Chew, Adam and Eve, like, there's certain brands that we know would align well with us, but who do you get in touch with to say, hey, give me money so that I can say your name? It's like, it's hard to come about. So Loudspeaker plays the middleman in that. They bring in majority of our ads outside of any ad agencies that just reach out to us personally.
Prior to Loudspeaker, were you guys, when you were doing it independently, how did you get those people? Or did you get them at all?
We didn't. Straight I up. Remember this guy hit us up and was like, I got a song. And I think we charged him like, all right, come on for $150. we got other people that would send us stuff and we were doing ads, but we were doing it for like $50. Mm-hmm. Like, just so that we can, well, this will cover our studio time. So, you know, when we first started, we literally were getting, we thought it was anything that mattered. Ooh, we're making money.
Yeah.
But then as we got further and we saw that our audience really bought into the things that we said, again, our relationship with our audience was most important. So we had sex toy companies that hit us up. We were like, we're not giving an ad until we try the product. So there's been companies that have said us, I know, literally, yeah, we gotta try it out. So there would be companies that would hit us up and I was like, girl, my vibrator died the first time. Like, we not doing that ad on the show. So... no, but seriously.
Quality of the product.
It's very important.
We can't put our name behind this product.
So I think it's important that you're not just accepting any money that comes in because it's being thrown at you.
At first, or just in general?
Even at first, we were like, listen, like, we were talking about how much we liked our vacation in Thailand. We would get DMs, because you said you're going to Thailand, I'm going now. Where did you stay? And we noticed just how much, like, people were following what
impact
we were saying.
Strong.
Yeah, we had a strong impact. And I was like, well, if we're going to have our people spend their hard-earned dollars, not only at our shows, but in products that we're endorsing, I want it to be worth endorsing. So that became important. I know, like, just recently, a tobacco company hit us up. I said, girl, we're not doing that. I don't care how much they pay us. I'm not endorsing tobacco. So it's also just really having that, you know, that all money isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a fact.
Yeah.
And we talked about that before in another episode, like CPM.
Yes.
How to gauge that. Can you just talk about that? Like, what?
So CPM, if you Google it, this is how you can determine how much maybe an ad would be worth on your podcast. So $25 is the basic CPM rate. You multiply that by every 1,000 listens that you get. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting 10,000 listens multiplied by $25 per 1,000, that's $250.
Right.
And you can get that per ad. And of course, the number of ads that you approve on your show is up to you. We don't really like to go over 4, and that's maybe 2 mid-rolls and 2 pre-rolls. Most end rolls don't really count as anything. Nobody's buying an end roll.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't listen to a full podcast. Mm-hmm. So those are normally thrown in for free. But you can decide how many you want to take. But again, if you're seeing 10,000 listens and you take on 4 ads, that's $1,000 for that one episode. And if you're someone who maybe records out of your house and doesn't have much overhead, you're seeing that as profit.
Yeah.
Because now you're not, you know, putting that into your production. So for us, and sometimes you can give a discount. You can be like, okay, I know the standard is 25. I'll give it to you for 22. And so you can gauge it off that. Right now, we base it off of about 70,000 listens, and that fluctuates. You also normally go based off of your numbers for about the six week mark. So this is net 6 weeks.
Right.
Because
some people look at it like, what's your first week, right?
And yeah, no.
Some people 30 days.
So and also you have to realize when you're getting paid for these, sometimes you're not getting paid until net 30 or net 60. Mm. So even though you're getting this money, you're not getting it up front. You're saying the ad and you're not seeing that money till down the line. So being kind of up on when you're owed, when to send invoices, this becomes now a part of the business where you need to keep track of what your money is coming in and what's going out.
Now, also it's important for podcasters to understand too, is that they, a lot of the ad agencies, they base your numbers off of previous
predated
like data. Yeah. So it's like we could be in January right now and then they'll base the numbers off of October.
Yeah.
And it's like 6,000 less listeners than what you currently have.
Right.
And then by the time you get paid, it's not till March.
Right.
Now you got a whole, so it's like you're always chasing back.
But also knowing that you can include your numbers, not only from your audio, but you could be like, yo, listen, I also get another 30,000 views on YouTube.
So
you're allowed to kind of combine those.
You know, it's funny that you say that, not to cut you off, but a lot of, because I was talking once again to one of our good friends in the podcast space, and they were saying that another ad agency that he used to use and that we kind of use sometimes, they didn't allow that. A lot of ads don't allow YouTube.
Yeah.
But it doesn't
It's changing. It's changing a little bit now. But also if you guys want to make money for your visuals and your audio, you can just base your audio numbers, which is what we do now because our videos have been pretty inconsistent. So it's not fair to the, you know, advertiser. But there's Google AdSense.
Yeah.
So you can still make money off of all of the ads that YouTube is putting into your videos as they so please. We're not able to be as monetized because of our content. Yeah. So if you have a business, you know, podcast or something more kid friendly, which now they even added, if
yeah,
you know,
yeah, you have to
18
yeah,
plus, yeah, you have to check put off that. But you can log in, get your Google AdSense and you can monetize and get paid off of what YouTube ads are being put into.
Another podcast hack to get paid double is that you can do an ad for audio, because most companies just want to advertise audio.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do the ad for audio, but then if somebody else wants to do an ad, you might not have enough ad space, you can do the ad for YouTube, and you can outside of the ads that they already give you, like you can place an ad in the episode just for YouTube.
So and I wanted to say that too, so because our podcast is not current event based, we do pre-record a ton of content. So we'll go into the studio and bust out 2 or 3 episodes in one sitting. And so we may get an ad last minute and now I have to record it and we're fitting it into audio. So that's also something for people who pre-record their content. Don't feel like you have to miss out on an ad. You can always record it, edit the audio and fit it inside. Make sure you transition it right and say, hey, before we get to that segment, this episode was brought to you by. And you could always feed it into it organically, because a lot of, you know, advertisers do want an organic sounding ad.
Yeah.
They don't want it just placed in. So you can still find ways to transition it if you're editing in a good, you know, roundabout way, especially if you have segments the way you guys do.
Yeah,
it makes
and
it easier.
And that's, like I said, that's important for people to know. So it's like if you have a business that, you know, you're promoting, you know, teeth straightening, you know, right. If you're a dentist and somebody else wants to do the exact same thing, you can't have two of the same companies advertise on audio.
Right.
But what you could do is say, okay, it's $500 for audio for your teeth straightening company. So we don't have space, but our YouTube numbers might be half of that. So we can insert a short clip on video just on YouTube, charge you $250 because it's less. So now you're getting $750 and the YouTube listeners aren't hearing audio. Audio listeners aren't watching YouTube for the most part.
Right.
It's two different audiences.
Yeah, and the beauty, is what I pick up on.
The beauty of the YouTube is that literally you can place it anywhere and as many as you want. Really, it just has to be after, I think, 10 minutes. That's when you can start placing ads. So you could just place them anywhere. Like, so that's what we
right. And then, I mean, if you are a podcast that is going to start inserting all of these ads, that's where Patreon becomes a great platform because now you can say this is ad-free content.
First,
so a lot of people don't like hearing ads. They just don't want to hear it. And so now that becomes a selling point to where, okay, well, you can listen to the episodes ad-free.
And our Patreon members listen to our episodes
early.
Not only.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that.
Not only ad-free, but early as well.
Early access. Yeah. We ran into a comment. Like, we had posted that we were about to put out the episode, and somebody was like, yo, I loved it. It was our favorite. And we were like, yo, how'd you hear it? He's like, yo, I'm on Patreon. I'm like, oh, yeah. Shout out to you.
Shout out. I'm like, yo, it didn't come out yet. And everybody started laughing in the comment section. He was like, yo, he's bugging. And he's like, no, I'm on Patreon. I'm like, I apologize.
Yeah. But I mean,
salute to all of our patrons.
Outside of making the money, I think one of the other things that is the most important as a content creator is to literally just learn. Whatever you think you're going to have to pay somebody to do, teach yourself. So like I was saying, I got a MacBook as a gift because I said, I need a MacBook because I need Premiere Pro to edit because all of the people who edit stuff have MacBooks. So I need a MacBook. And so I taught myself how to edit audio on Audacity, GarageBand, and Premiere Pro. I created our media kit. I taught myself how to cut social media clips, how to create social media content like audiograms and videos and anything that I felt we needed as marketing material. And those are things that sometimes you have to pay if you don't know how to do it. So I literally taught myself on YouTube. I would go in and be like, okay, how do I split this track? And there's YouTube videos for literally everything. So for people who maybe have a job but don't have the money to invest in cameras or equipment or studio time or outsourcing all of these jobs, you can teach yourself how to do it. And it's editing audio is fairly simple. It is. It's fairly simple.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The blueprint on how to make money on a podcast. Hey. A lot of jewelry in that segment for sure. So last segment, we're going to bring it home with a few more actionable items and scaling model for you going forward. All right. So we're going to close it out. But before we do, I want to, Troy, can you just tell, because a lot of people always ask, I get this question so much. My personal page, Earn Your Leisure's DM. What mics we use, what cameras we want to try to help people as much as we possibly can to get them up and started running the podcast.
We kind of did an episode on Earn Your Leisure University.
Earn Your Leisure University, we gave the whole entire
exact thing. I actually brought the boxes down. Like, yo, this is the box. Yeah, but so for the mics, we were looking at industry standards. And so we kept watching podcasts. And I'm like, yo, listen, that's the one we need. I went to the Breakfast Club. I'm like, we need that. So the mics we use are the Shure SM7B mics. And they're like the industry standard.
S-H-U-R-E, sure.
Sure, yeah, S-H-U-R-E, yep. And they run about $400. They're pricey, but they get the job done. So if you look at the early episodes, even on YouTube, we got wires on the table. Yeah. We got like the shotgun stands, and it's like, all right.
Our audio was terrible.
I think mics are probably one of the most important.
Especially our voice needs to be heard.
It has to be.
So we try to get something that would cancel out noise and capture everything that we're saying.
Can I say what not to do?
Tell them.
That I see a lot of new podcasters doing, and I wish they would stop. There's a mic that you just sit down. It's supposed to be a globe mic. Stop doing it. If you have guests, if you have more than one host, it picks up everything, and it literally sounds like you're in a bathroom. And we struggled with audio, even being in the studio sometimes. Yeah. Like, or even, you know, guests would lean back or come over. You can't change that.
Yeah, there's nothing
you can do. So there's nothing you can do with even when you're editing audio. But when you have just a globe and you can't multi-track a session, forget about it.
Yeah.
Multi-track is important.
Multi-track is very important. Yeah. So if you're going to have a podcast with five hosts, you need five mics.
Yeah.
Just know that every person needs to have their own mic.
Yeah, I can imagine somebody
important.
Listening, they're like, what's multi-tracking? So multi-track means like every mic has a track that goes into where it's recording from. So right now our laptop is recording three different tracks because it's three different mics. So we have four guests before and five.
If I came here and I was talking like this most of the episode,
right.
they could actually raise your turn volume. My levels.
Exactly.
And then once you compress all of the files together, it's just one MP3 or wave track, and yeah. then it all sounds fine. But you can actually adjust levels if you're a multi-track.
Yeah, most people like to use wave because it keeps the audio in its purest form.
Yes. Sometimes but wave files are also
a lot larger. A lot larger. Yes.
Much
yes.
larger.
Space is important. You got to have space. So yes. like we got like one of the highest tiers of the Google Drive.
Right. Because
we have not only do we do the audio, but we also obviously do the visuals.
Right.
And so you want to talk about large files? Like every time we do an episode, we're talking about 60 gigs per camera.
Right.
So that's insane. Important too.
And if you have Patreon, they don't allow large file sizes. No. So Patreon is MP3 upload.
Yeah.
And yeah, WAV files are large.
So
yeah.
What kind of cameras do we
So have? We started with the iPhones, but we got these Lumia.
We started with iPhones.
And I'm talking like iPhone 6. Like,
oh.
Yeah, yeah, it was ugly. But we got the job done. The content
Wait,
was more.
iPhone 6
yeah.
He had an iPhone 6. He had an iPhone 6. I never had an iPhone
6. I had the 8 Plus.
I had a 10.
You had a 10, I had an 8 Plus.
Okay, that sounds about right. Yeah, 6 so last year.
Six,
sounds,
no, I got the 6 from
like
my pops.
Struggle.
I got the 6 from my pops because he just got his first cell phone. But now we got the Lumix cameras, and somebody actually asked me, why do we use the Lumix ones, Lumix 95s? It was because we want to record in HD. And
okay.
most cameras, if you even try, like they'll let you record, not HD, 4K. They'll let you record
30 minutes. 30 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
See, with the Lumix.
And then you have to take it out, export it, and then put it back in.
Hopefully they'll cut us a check out of this. But the Lumix 95, it's unlimited 4K.
Oh, wow. That is good.
Yeah. So, was like a huge thing because, like, a lot of our content is like an hour long.
Right.
So, when we record in 4K, there's no time limit to it.
Okay.
But and part of that is, like, you have to have storage for it, too. So, like,
storage is
having
important.
Large scan disks,
right.
512 gigabytes, just to hold an episode. So that's pricey too, because those are like $200 a piece, right?
Right?
So getting multiples of those, and then when you start recording 2 or 3 episodes in a week, it's like, all right, we got to start shipping these off so we can erase and create more files. But like that's the most important things, like unlimited 4K recording. That's why we chose these cameras.
And also, what I learned is that you can actually make a movie on an iPhone because what I learned is that lighting is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have bad lighting, you can have the best cameras in the world, and it's not going to look good.
It means nothing. Yeah, I see you guys have the lights as well.
Yeah, we had to invest. We had to invest in lights because it's like lighting changes everything. You got an iPhone with good lighting, and it looks just like any camera.
Yeah.
Lighting. So that's another tip. Lighting is extremely. What lights do we use?
So we got the GVM, the great maker lights. We went to B&H. Said, what can we get for a relatively respectable price and get 3 of them, right? So if you look, like, obviously they know the green wall. That's yeah. my dining room. It lights the room up a little
right.
bit differently. So,
And you can also just get ring lights on Amazon as
yes.
well.
Ring lights work too.
And those are very, very,
like $100.
Cheap, if that.
Yeah.
You can get them for the yeah. little low.
That's so. What I said. And people think, like, oh, it's a podcast. But I'm like, nah, we need all this. Like, if some people have seen us in the airport, right? They're like,
right.
yo. Where are y'all going with all this? And I'm like, nah, we're a podcast.
I'm carrying my retractable banner. I carry my phone in my microphone in yeah. my book bag. And of course that has to go through the scanner.
It's a hassle.
It's like, what are you doing? Like,
and then we upload the audio to GarageBand.
Yeah,
or
so
you guys use GarageBand.
I use it. So the audio okay. right now is going into GarageBand.
What's GarageBand? What is that?
So that is our interface. That's what we're recording on. So everything, people like to use Logic. Some people want to use other things. I'm like, yo, listen. I'm going to use GarageBand because it came with the Mac, and I'm just going to do that.
So right. for people that have no idea about computers like myself, what does that mean? Like, what is GarageBand?
So like right now we're talking, right? GarageBand is recording it, right? So once that happens, now we can turn volumes up or turn them down, mm-hmm. or we can edit parts out, or we can add ads into the space.
You can add sound right. effects. You can split the tracks.
Split the tracks, exactly.
So there's GarageBand, and like I mentioned earlier, for post-production, I focus now on Audacity.
Audacity is another program.
But I was also using Premiere Pro, which Premiere Pro is very pricey, but what you could do is actually purchase the Adobe Suite and pay $20 a month, which is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of spending $1,000 on the Adobe Suite or however much it is, it's very pricey. For the Adobe Suite, you get Premiere Pro, you get Photoshop, you get PowerPoint is Microsoft.
Yeah.
But you get all of these resources that you can use to edit and create content.
Yeah. And one thing I told one of our favorite episodes is Chris Gotti. Shout out to Chris. He Irv Gotti's brother. Used to run Murder Inc. And he said something that was extremely key. He said for independent artists, music mm-hmm. artists, he was like, you're not competing with other independent artists. You're competing with Drake, even though you don't know it. So he's like, in a club, like, having your record mixed and masters is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Because, like, in a club, when they play the record and it doesn't hit, nobody's going to say, oh, they just didn't have the budget. They're going to listen to it like, that doesn't sound,
that sound
like
old.
How Drake. Yeah. And that's the whole point of having your music mixed and mastered. And it's the same thing with the podcast, like the audio. And that's what I remember I was telling Troy and Mike. I was like, we're not, because as I said before, early in the podcast, we're independent. We're not on any channel. We're not signed to anybody. So we're doing all this ourselves. But I'm like, we one of the top business podcasts in the world.
Right.
So we're not competing.
Humble flex.
No, that's a fact.
In the world.
But so when I was telling them, like, look, we're not competing with other independent business podcasts. We're competing with Wall Street Journal, Gary Vee, Grant Cardone. So our audio needs to sound like them because they're our competitors.
Right.
So I was like in the car, like I'll be listening to it and they're like, I'm like, turn it up. It needs to sound louder. Like, no, I'm like, no, it needs to sound louder. So like, he was going back and forth.
This is what we learned. That's when I learned, like, oh, I'm sending him the MP3. When I listen to it, it's a WAV file.
But,
so the audio
not only
goes
that,
down
turning up the levels to where a lot of our number one audience is in New York. To me, if I can't hear you on the train, it's a problem.
That's a fact.
So now I'm like, I would much rather people turn us down. Once you're turned up, you can't turn up no more. You can turn down low. Like, you can turn a phone down. So to me, as long as you're not hearing a static, I want to be sure everyone is at their highest level. I speak loud. My co-host speaks loud. When we have guests, I want them or their levels up. And to me, it's making sure we can be heard on a train in New York City. That's what my goal
that's
is now for audio.
Yeah.
No, that should be the standard.
Yeah, but it's a learning lesson. It was like, yo, he would call us. Yo, this is how y'all even listening to this? I'm like, yo, bro, it sounds fine when I'm listening to it. And then I realized, like, oh, when I have to send it to him, he listens to the MP3 version. I'm like, okay, that's why.
The same way certain music bumps through headphones and you can hear them listening through headphones, I want you to have to turn down your headphones.
That was my guess. I put a, he didn't.
That's the test. Yeah.
I kept telling Troy, like, yo, it doesn't sound good. Like, it's not loud. He's like, no, it's loud enough. I'm like, come in my car. So he came in my car and I played the radio. I played the radio on the highest level possible, like blow the speakers out. I'm like, that's how it should sound, the highest level. Then I played our audio on the highest level, and it didn't sound anything close to that.
Right.
I'm like you said, I'd rather people turn it down,
right,
than to have
absolutely
it turn all the way up, and it's still not loud enough.
I agree, and that's where I mean we've struggled. A lot of people know with our sound for a lot, but we've changed engineers. Again, I was doing some of the editing for a long time, so it's me changing. But again, when you have people talking away from mic, there's only so much you can do. And I'm not the one who can adjust your level for this sentence, but not the rest of your track. Like, there's just a lot when it comes to audio that even regular podcasting engineers aren't going to do. So it's really also making sure you perfect your craft into talking into the microphone, projecting your voice, and making sure that everyone is hearing everything.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Extremely important. Extremely important. So,
Right after that car visit, I went inside. I was like studying. How do you do this? Like, because it's not even close.
Because everything I be bugging.
I gotta go feed my kids.
It's like I'm always like a pessimist. Like I always like everything could go right, but then it's like one thing that went wrong. And I'm like, I can't sleep. Like I lose sleep over stuff like that. So it's like
that's a good way to move.
I'm sorry.
Listen, I just watched that Kevin Hart documentary and I was like,
we're
a lot alike. And I know people were coming down on him on some certain things, but I was like,
no, he's a beast.
I was like,
he's
is
a
that
beast.
Me?
He is a
is
beast.
Is that me in a little black man body? Because me and him are the same person.
I randomly it just came on and I just started playing. I actually watched the entire season. I was like,
First off, I thought it was three episodes. No, it's like seven.
Yeah.
And I literally watched from the beginning to end. But in this space, as people, I would never tell someone to quit their job and chase their dreams. That is not realistic. And you need money to live. Mm-hmm. You need money to invest. So I would never tell someone to quit their job and go for it starting from the beginning, which is why I didn't quit school, which is why I didn't quit my offer and just be like, well, I'm going to be a podcaster now. I can make it happen. I think that that's unrealistic. And a lot of us do need to still have our income coming in if we want to be able to invest in equipment, invest in building a team, invest in learning. Like there's a lot of portals, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of things that we have to pay for that information. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to keep working, keep money flowing in, and then invest until you find a company.
Yeah, we say that all the time, man. Your 9 to 5 is your first investor.
That's sure a fact. Is. Yeah.
So,
you know what I appreciate?
What?
And I said this to you earlier. It was like, just because of what you talk about on your podcast, people think you lack intelligence.
Yes.
You're brilliant.
So thank you. I think that's so dope. Thank you. And it's funny because my friend Yusuf, shout out to him. He's like, we'll be talking and I'll send him my media kit that I made on Canva. And he's like, yo, you never cease to amaze. What girl is just like, yeah. Here's my media kit that I made on Canva while also editing audio. And like I was saying, like, it is unfortunate that as women, we can't be sexually liberated or be a hoe and also be smart. So, and it's also a part of me I'm not able to share as much on the podcast.
Right.
But like, even before, you know, we met and my friend that's here now, like, she knew me when I was interviewing for the Obama administration at one point.
Yeah.
I worked for the Department of Financial Services, Goldman Sachs, EY. And when you say these names, they're so prestige. And even when we were talking about separating my government with my alias
duality,
I was just like, oh yeah, they have no idea. And then even when I go into these interviews and I'm landing these interviews and they're like, what are you saying to these people? Because I know you, girl. What are you saying to them? And I'm like, you know, I turn it on and off. But then as soon as I got hired, you getting me. So I'm like, yeah, I got that for you. What's going on? I'm already hired. Y'all paid a lot of money for me to have my benefits and to get me in the door. You can't fire me because you don't like how I talk. So once I got in the door, I was very much myself. Still getting my braids and doing things in corporate America that it's kind of hard. It was a challenge to have to turn it on and off, but yeah. I did it. And so, again, you can have a podcast where you talk about hopefully not killing people, but you could talk about this thing and have a completely different life with your 9 to 5 yeah. and it be okay.
Yeah.
And that's
one of the benefits.
Tell me about it.
Like I said, I'll say this all the time. Iron Your Leisure is a tent that welcomes everybody.
Yes.
And we have people from all walks of life. We have people that went to Harvard, people that did 20 years in jail.
Returning citizens.
Yep. We have people that have Sex Kink podcast. But you know, the good thing is that everybody has a story. Everybody
yes,
has a, and especially yes. everybody has a business story, and there's somebody that can relate to everybody. So did I say that correctly?
Yeah, no, it's somebody.
Everybody
can relate
can, to, somebody. You know what I mean.
One of those things.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, like I mean, for you guys to have Harvard graduates,
yeah.
I went to a city university. I went to Lehman. Didn't know about it. I'm from Florida. I'm like,
well, you didn't know about Lehman before you got here?
I didn't know about Baruch. I didn't know about none of these schools. I was like, I remember
$400.
I'm not even gonna lie to you. I remember when I was looking for schools to go to, I was like, I need to get back into school because I don't want to be a receptionist at a temp agency or a bartender for the rest of my life. So I'm looking at schools, and I knew Fordham, Columbia, and what is that? Rutgers? That's in Jersey. That's not an option.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, Fordham or Columbia. I said $48,000 a year for Fordham. That was Fordham. I said, okay, there has to be other options.
Yeah.
So I figured out what a city university was, and that's the thing. Me going to Lehman and not even Baruch to be able to not be at a school where even people would go and recruit. I'm in the face of Goldman. Mm-hmm. I'm in the face of a Big Four. I'm sending my resume off to the White House and going through the entire interview process where I know I'm competing against Fordham students, Harvard students, Howard students, and having those opportunities and not allowing the CUNY system to deter me from that.
Shout out to the City Schools of New York.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, Mandy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the alumni.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You're an EYL alumni, for
Thank
sure.
Thank you. And I, if anyone has any questions relating to podcasting, listen back to this episode. Don't DM me. No, but I do want to give a shout out to my friend, if I can.
Yeah, sure.
Carla Wilmaris. If you guys are looking to start your podcast, she offers a portal. So I know, again, I found you guys through Alex, who has the trucking industry portal. And again, thank you for that episode.
Alex.
I'm looking to now invest.
Yeah.
So
Alex.
You what? Yeah.
Alex, man.
Alex, he's a big man. Listen. But my friend Carla Wilmaris, she has a launch platform. Ooh, I'm sorry. Where she actually takes you through the steps. It's a 5-week portal. Literally from start to finish, you can get your podcast off of the ground. So she helps with the equipment you need, you starting your trailer, curating your cover art, everything. And so if you have questions, slide in the DMs of @Carla Wilmaris. Don't slide in my DMs. A lot of people hit me up. I don't offer the services of coaching and mentoring. I did it. I don't want to be responsible for how you go about your business. This was my journey, but I don't have the time to, you know, answer all these questions. But for the people that offer that, I want to give a shout out to them. So Carla, WILMARIS, she has a portal. She has PDFs, everything that you guys need with this information to start your podcast.
And how can the people check your podcast out and your social media handles?
So if you guys want to listen to a sex-based podcast for colored people, it is for us. I'm not going to lie. White people, we talk about y'all. But it is a safe space for black people wanting to listen to sex, dating, and relationship conversations. You can catch us every Monday wherever you listen to your favorite platforms. HorribleDecisions.com. Type in whore, W-H-R-E. We pop up. And if you guys want to catch up with everything I have going on, you can check out MandyB.com. You can hit the subscribe now and it'll introduce you to my newsletter. And with my newsletter, you guys will be up on my solo podcast that is dropping. And that podcast will actually be more mental health based. It's going to me talk about, I'm going through going into college as a non-traditional adult. So I didn't go straight out of college. I'm going to talk about growing up in a single parent household, being biracial, leaving my corporate job, anxiety. And it's kind of going to be like a chapter book through my life. So that'll be coming in February. So if you guys go to MandyB.com, subscribe to that, you guys will get the newsletter of everything going on. And yeah, follow me at Full Court Pumps on everything. That's my socials.
Full Court Pumps.
Yes.
Thanks. Troy.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com, all our Patreons. We have some new ones. Tajay is an interesting story. She actually came as a gift from somebody. Somebody gifted them a Patreon membership. So shout out to Tajay and Aliza and James. Those are new members. And James, I think, comes in at a tier 4 or 5. So he'll be getting EYL University. He has access to that. And that is our weekly school, really. I heard your Nasir say, yo, my dad got a school. Yeah, so that is our school. 3 days a week, we are dropping a lot of education, right? Mondays, we have Matt, MG, the mortgage guy, who talks about different aspects of real estate. And Wednesday, we have a guest webinar with some of our alumni and some people who are just experts in their field. And Thursday, kind of our floating day, Rashad and I always do a podcast about something related in business. We've done mutual.
Not a podcast, a lesson.
A lesson, I'm sorry. Yeah. We've done a webinar.
Also, I know you guys listen to the podcast. Follow them on Instagram. You guys go live almost every day, but live with a lot of just entrepreneurs and alumni I see.
Lives are dope.
And the lives are like really dope.
Yeah, the lives be lit.
So follow them on Instagram too, because I follow them and I'll be like, ooh, they going live. Let me mute my TV and learn.
When we go live, it's usually like I'll go on Earn Your Leisure and he goes on his page. But like, I like watching people call in. So it's like Instagram, they need to come with a function where we can have like a party call. Yeah. Where like we can both be on and we can take it or take guest calls. Because that's what I really like seeing. I'm like, yo, somebody called in from London. I'm like, yo, I'm tuned in. Like, I went like, wow, he heard us in London. Somebody called in from South Africa. I'm like, wow.
The lives are really dope, and I appreciate that you guys do that.
The reach is crazy. So, so shout out to everybody on Patreon. Shout out to everybody that has been supporting EarnYourLeisure.com and buying the merch. You obviously see that we have our EYL University apparel on today. And we're going to be coming to Atlanta with a lot more apparel.
Yes.
I'm excited
for Atlanta. I'll be there. I bought my ticket, so I'm excited. So anyone who may be listening that's a part of the Whore Hive, which is what we call it.
Is that what yours is called?
Yeah.
Shout out to the
Whore Hive. If any of you guys are in Atlanta and are looking to get into any type of investments or just, you know, be around me, I'll be there. So get your ticket.
That's a fact. Mandy will be in the building. She actually brought her ticket before she even became an alumni.
I'm pulling up.
Yeah, that's a fact. She'll be there Sunday. So make sure, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this, Atlanta's going to be crazy. 2-day event, 25th, 26th. We got all our friends coming. Everybody's coming out. So if you're in Atlanta, man, don't sleep on it. Make sure you pull up on us for sure. Book tip of this week is Start With Why. Great book, great read. So once again, thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.